Hello everyone, welcome to Refinery Life Radio. I'm Gary Hoban, I'm the Senior Pastor and Lead Elder of Refinery Life Church on the beautiful Gold Coast. If you're on the Gold Coast anytime, feel free to come and join us as we meet together and we share in the word of our Lord. We meet at 9:30 on Sundays at 222 Turpin Road, Labrador. For more information, you can visit our website, which is www.refinerylife.org. And today we're going to continue our series about the about stewardship and the principles of it, because many people think of stewardship only in terms of offerings for some worthy cause or something like that. So taking the stew out of stewardship is the theme for the next couple of Sundays. And today we're going to talk about the stewardship of thanks. The text that we're going to concentrate on is Psalm 118:1. It talks about thanksgiving for the Lord's saving goodness, and it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever." And then the scripture reading which we'll work through is Psalm 118:1-18. But let's pray before we go any further. Father, we thank you for this past year that will soon be finished. However challenging it may have been and continue to be, you have richly blessed many of us. For your sovereign grace, your boundless love, your constant watching over us, we give you thanks, Lord. For the great blessings, the wonderful things, but also for the simple, the familiar, the common, we also give you thanks, Lord. For the Bible, for the privilege of fellowship, Lord, with our brothers and sisters in Christ, in your church, your Holy Spirit abiding in us, but most of all for your Son, our Saviour and Lord, we give you thanks, Lord. Bless the offerings that we bring you today. Help us to remember that we give to you, but you own everything that we have. Accept us, Lord, as we give ourselves to you today, and then to your cause according to your will. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If giving thanks was a vaccine, and we're talking about vaccine here, talking about a good one, an antitoxin, an antiseptic, what person is there that doesn't need protection against spiritual infection? He who receives a benefit with gratitude, said a Roman philosopher, repays the first installment of his debt. In our text, the psalmist revealed several things about giving thanks. First, he pointed out its object. "Oh, give thanks to the Lord," it says. As James said in James 1:17, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, the Creator, the Sustainer of the heavens, in whom there is no variation, no rising or setting, or shadow cast by his turning, for he is perfect and never changes." Amen to that. God owns all things. And second, the psalmist showed its reasonableness. It says, "For he is good. The abundance of his blessings flows naturally out of the graciousness of his character." And third, the psalmist revealed its motivation. It says, "For his loving kindness endures forever." This is the sound of this psalm. Gratitude is a grace. It's a gift from God. And like all these gifts, we can take it or leave it. We have a choice. We can use it or we can neglect it. In this, as in all good things, we have a stewardship, and our stewardship of thanks must be constant. It must be unvarying. We should give thanks at all times and under all circumstances. When you're groaning and you're criticizing and you're complaining, it's not doing what God wants you to be doing. Look at 1 Thessalonians 5:18. It says, "In every situation, no matter what the circumstances, be thankful and continually give thanks to God. For this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus." Let me urge you that for one day at least, let's put Paul's word to the test and demonstrate its power ourselves. Why should we not be constantly be expressing to one another every day and always and especially to God? Why shouldn't we be expressing our thanks that way? It doesn't make sense not to. Just doesn't make sense. We need to change our attitudes. We really do need to change our attitudes. In times of prosperity, we should give thanks. By and large, we are an affluent people. The fact that we have food on our tables each day proves this. Whether prosperity makes for good or bad depends in part on the spirit in which we receive. I know plenty of people with lots of money, but their prosperity isn't for good because they didn't receive it, and they don't receive in the right heart and the right spirit. So are we thankful? God has given us this grace. And the question is, are we using it? In times of adversity, we need to be giving thanks. Some will say that this is the hardest of all, and it is. When we're going through tough times, it's hard to thank God for where he has us. But this will bless our lives as it helps us to grow to be more like him. We need to remember it's not about us. In the Old Testament, the prophet Habakkuk is a choice example. In the midst of utter desolation, he gave thanks like this. Look at Habakkuk 3:17 through to 19. It says, though the fig tree does not blossom, and there is no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive fails, and the fields produce no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold, and there is no cattle in the stalls, verse 18, yet I will choose to rejoice in the Lord. I will choose to shout out in exultation in the victorious God of my salvation. Verse 19, the Lord God is my strength, my source of courage, my invincible army. He has made my feet steady and sure like hinds' feet and makes me walk forward with spiritual confidence on my high places of challenge and responsibility. That right there is giving thanks. In times of doubt, we should give thanks. This is difficult indeed, but by God's help, we can do it. No matter how dark the day, there are some things we know for certain. We know that high above the clouds, the sun is shining, unhindered and undimmed. We know that God is there for us. We know that there is one who knows the way. In his gospel, John said that before the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus asked Philip where they were to buy bread so all the people could eat. And John added in John 6:6, but he said this to test Philip because he knew what he was about to do. Thank God for one in this universe who knows what to do. Thank God for our Lord Jesus. We know that there is a way that is right and true, and that that way will win in the end. Even in the darkest day, if we have ears to hear, we might hear God's voice saying, like in Isaiah 30:21, this is the way, walk in it. Whenever you turn to the right or to the left, if we have ears to hear, let us hear. And our stewardship of giving thanks must be discerning. When Paul wrote to the Philippians in Philippians 3:13, he said, brothers and sisters, I do not consider that I have made it to my own yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. He did not mean to forget everything. He was saying that his memory was selective. He did not want to forget such things as his experience with Christ on the Damascus Road. In fact, he told that story again and again. He did not forget God's help in the hard places, nor his guidance when he didn't know which way to turn. And like Paul, our giving thanks must be discerning. True giving of thanks remembers the best of the past. We can all have a long list of problems, and many of us do. Often as ministers, a lot of what we do is just listen to your problems. But we must not forget all of his benefits. And truly giving thanks sees the blessings of today and the blessings. We get to see that they're the blessings of the present. Ours is a day of uncertainty and confusion, of war and trouble, and of injustice and of evil. And instead of moaning about our lot, we should say, what a day to be alive. Search and see. Turbulent volcanic times have been the creative ages of our history. What a century God has caused us to live. If we are not in the end times yet, we are rushing towards them quickly. But even more important, truly giving thanks strengthens us for the future. Perhaps the most remarkable of the recorded prayers of Jesus is his prayer before the tomb of Lazarus. A man, as we know, had been dead for 4 days. He prayed to the Father in the past tense. And as he thanked God for what God was about to do as though it was already accomplished, how good is that? Let's look at John 11, 41, 42. It says, so they took away the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes toward heaven and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me and listen to me, but I have said this because of the people standing around so that they may believe that you have sent me and that you have made me your representative. Our faith can never compare with his, but we do have the promises of God. We can thank God for what we know he will do for us. In the material world, science promises us some fantastic things. And the same is true in the realm of general knowledge. If we desire, he will so bless us in the realm of the spirit. And our stewardship of things must be vocal. Have a look at Psalm 107, verse 2. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the adversary. And shouldn't we also testify of his goodness and love? Really, shouldn't we also testify of God's goodness and love for what he's done in our lives? Have you been through customs, and when you're returning into Australia or another country, depending on where you live, have you been through customs? And the question that we get asked is, do you have anything to declare? Which usually means, have you got anything in your bags that you purchased overseas and you need to pay customs and tax on before bringing it back into the country? But the question is interesting if we interpret it spiritually. Have a think about it for a moment. If we interpret this question spiritually, have you anything to declare? Well, do you? Have you got anything to declare? What is there in your mental and spiritual luggage to declare? To declare while giving thanks to God. Not being thankful to God for everything is like walking around asleep. You miss out on so much. And there are many people who testify to be Christians that are walking around asleep. Let us all give thanks for the lavish beauty of the natural world. Let us all give thanks that we live in this heaven-blessed land. And let us give thanks that Christ is our Savior and Lord. That's a challenge for you today. Let's give thanks that Christ is our Savior and Lord. Let's give thanks for where we live. And I really want to encourage you to be diligent with your Bible study time, because God has so much more for us that we can get from just going to church once or twice a week and hearing someone else talk about the Word. When you spend time with God, your life will change in amazing ways, because God is a Redeemer. There's nothing that's too hard for him. He can make you whole, spirit, soul, and body, if you will let him. You're important to God. You know that already. But you're also important to us at the Refinery. So when it comes to prayer, we believe that God wants to meet your needs and reveal his promises to you. So whatever you're concerned about and need prayer for, we want to be here for you. Even if you just want to say hi, you can contact us on www.refinerylife.org. or via any of our social media channels. And until next time, stay in the blessings.